Now then, before we kick off with tonight's show...
Warning, some viewers may find the following footage deeply disturbing.
Welcome back, dear listeners, to the 50th episode. Yes, 50th episode of Rare Anyone Talks. Thank you. You're too kind. You are too bloody kind. Thank you very much. What a loser I am. I am your host, Rare Eddie One, and today we are diving into the weird, the wild, and the downright wacky world of the paranormal. UFOs, UAPs, aliens, and conspiracies. So buckle up, because this episode is going to be a roller coaster of chills, thrills, and a few laughs along the way. Yes, this is my 50th episode, the mighty 50. 50, I feel that old. 50 episode, bloody hell. I hope I have a decent enough following for now. I'm happy with whatever where I am. I've definitely improved in the podcast world of things. I just need to improve with promoting my stuff a little bit more now. I could always do with a little bit more prep. Hell yes, I can always do with a little bit more prep. But like always, folks, I am going to be drinking on these, and not always. There's been a couple I haven't drank because I've been absolutely wasted from the night before. But this isn't that show, because I'm going to be drinking and I'm going to be reviewing. This is like my little review portion of Rare Anyone Talks. Yes, Rare Anyone Talks. And we are I've drank this on this show many, many, many times now. It's Taurus, Aldi brand Taurus Blood Orange Cider. Now, have I done it the gay way? I have no idea. So cue that gay music and let's get into this review, folks. Oh, quick whiff. It smells... The only problem when you whiff this, it smells very chemically orangey. It doesn't smell natural orange. It just smells very chemically. I know it doesn't taste like that, but the smell... It doesn't... Yeah, you definitely smell the blood orange, but it's got more of a chemically smell to it. But anyway, bottoms up. Pinky at the ready. Nice, it's chilled, and yeah, you smell that chemically blood orange smell. The taste is far different. It's got the very sharp aroma of a blood orange, but it's quite soft. There's not much cider. It's a 3.4%. There's not much cider in it. It's a hell of a drink. It's a very refreshing drink on hot days like these. Hot days like this one. You do get a kick of the blood orange right at the back. And you don't get much cider again with these. You don't get much cider. It's like drinking a fancy pop, but it's not. It's an alcoholic beverage. But anyway... I will give this a very high score. I'm going to give it a 9.1. Give it a 9.1 because this is Aldi's equivalent to Thatcher's Blood Orange. It's to say it's an Aldi brand. It's still quite pricey. It's not Thatcher's pricey, but you know, it's if you like Thatcher's. And it's still too dear. Get over to Aldi and buy their fucking Taurus blend or branded cider drinks. They don't just do blood orange, they do many other flavours, folks. So wet your palate, wet your appetite. And on that note, let's kick off with one of my favourites. So this is going to be a recap of the 50 shows. I've done not all 50. No, oh God, no. That'd be like 18 motherfucking years later. But a couple of some of my favourite topics I've talked about so far. So we're going to kick off with the Stone Tape Theory. And yes, I have many of my own theories of the Stone Tape Theory. So what the hell's a Stone Tape Theory? So for those who are new here, the Stone Tape Theory suggests that inanimate materials like stone can absorb and replay past events. The Stone Tape Theory is a fascinating concept in the realm of the paranormal. It suggests ghosts and hauntings are similarly to tape recordings, according to this theory. Emotional or traumatic events can project energy that gets recorded onto the materials like stone and under certain conditions. So I've gone all over this before. My thoughts on the Stone Tape Theory is like traumatic events have happened in say a bathroom, for instance. There's a lot of stories that involve the Stone Tape Theory that involve bathrooms, women, you know, scorn lovers, prostitutes, just gone through a hellish time. Maybe the man that they fell in love with, who's a bit of a twat, has pushed him too far, and he's pushed him that far that their only way out is, you know, to off themselves, which is very, very emotional. So they're already going through an emotional point in their life. In putting on top of that, they're contemplating something very dark indeed. And maybe the month of the year, the day of the year, the moon cycle, maybe the atmosphere of that day, all add to this mix, this perfect mix, not perfect in what happened, but the actions of everything around added this perfect mix to actually for the stone to record on, that the emotions just leaked from the person, leaked from the atmosphere, leaked from here, there and everywhere, and just absorbed into the stone itself. It is fascinating, this theory. The idea itself draws inspiration from the 19th century intellectuals and psychic researchers who believe that environment elements could store traces of human thoughts or emotions. The theory was popularized by a 1972 BBC ghost story called The Stone Tape, which depicted scientists discovering that the walls of a mansion could replay past traumatic events. Now, one of my theories in my head was it could be not just traumatic, but really happy times, because people do see, you know, like monks walking down a hallway that's no longer a hallway, or, you know, they hear, you know, footsteps, they see someone sat in like the church. And maybe these people are either going through traumatic events and thinking of committing some horrible atrocities, or maybe they've just found the love of their life, and so there's positive energy exploding all over the place. Maybe they've just found out they're pregnant. Maybe they're contemplating that their loved one has just proposed to them, so they're sat in a church contemplating, is this the right man or woman? So I don't just believe it's on traumatic events. I do believe it can happen with positive events as well. Maybe they found out they're pregnant, and all that excitement is exuding all over the place. And like the traumatic events, right time of the month, right moon cycle, right atmosphere, you know, everything right humidity, and it just sucks everything into the stone itself. And I love this theory. That's why I put it number one today. It's not necessarily my favorite, but I love this theory. One of the intriguing aspects of the Stone Tape theory is the connection to the concept of place memory, where certain locations seems to hold memories of past events. This theory has been used to explain residual hauntings, where apparitions appear to be non-interactive and simply replay past events. So yeah, you'll see like a nun service in one of the stories, there's a nun's walk where people see this nun, not every day, but yeah, maybe once every 5 years, but they see this nun walking this specific walkway, hence it's named the nun's walk. And maybe that nun's just, I don't know if it's a promotion in the church, I don't know. Maybe she's just had something really happy to her. Or maybe she's having an affair with a monk, or, you know, I just love this theory. So what are residual hauntings? They are fascinating and common type of paranormal activity. Unlike intelligent hauntings, where spirits interact with the living, residual hauntings are more like a playback, hence the Stone Tape theory. Here are some of my key points. So, repetitive nature. Residual hauntings often involve the same actions, sound, replaying or repeating over and over like a loop. For example, you might hear footsteps in the same spot every night or see an apparition performing the same action on a repeated basis. Lack of interaction. It's the maybe one ghost I wouldn't mind seeing because they can't interact with you. You can't interact with them. There's no interaction with them. You can't, you know, say, you can't wave at them. You're not there to them. And likewise, they're not there for you. They're just going on their daily routine like you are going on your daily routine. Emotional imprints. These hauntings are believed to be caused by strong emotions or traumatic events, like someone has committed 12 murders in this one room. He brings back prostitutes, and every time he brings back, he murders them for lack of simplicity. And that trauma going through that young lady or young man is just exploding all over the place. And because I imagine the serial killer having some sort of his enthusiasm, for lack of a better word, is exploding all over the place. And these two are creating a perfect mix. It's not a perfect way to, you know, happen, but maybe this all adds to a Stone Tape theory. Interesting. I could talk about the Stone Tape theory for days. So if you are interested, reach out, get in touch with me, and let's see what we can communicate together. If there's any places you know what has a residual or Stone Tape theory, let me know. I really want to go and investigate some of these. So some of the theories behind the Stone Tape and residual hauntings. So the Stone Tape theory suggests that materials like stone can absorb and replay emotional energy from past events, which we just talked about. Environmental impacts is another theory. Posits that the energy from traumatic events, which I've just gone over, I've repeated myself quite a few times in this part of the show. Examples of residual haunting. So if you're unfamiliar with the couple I have gone through, battlefields. Many report of residual hauntings come from battlefields. So like the Gettysburg, a lot of people see soldiers walking to war in the Gettysburg, in the fields of Gettysburg. And people can often hear sounds of battles, often seeing apparition of soldiers, seen or heard. Historic buildings, old buildings with a lot of history, such as castles or mansions, often have reports of residual hauntings where past events seem to replay themselves. How about some council houses or the projects? So how can you identify a residual hauntings? Well, you know, if the patterns in the activity, if the same events happen at the same time or place repeatedly, it might just be a residual haunting. Lack of response. So if, like I said earlier, if the apparition or the sound does not respond to you, it's more likely it's going to be a stone tape / residual haunting. So the stone tape / the residual hauntings can offer us a glimpse, a unique glimpse into the past, allowing us to witness echoes of history. They are a reminder of powerful emotions and events that have shaped our world. It is like your house is a giant VHS tape, but instead of recording your favorite sitcoms, it's capturing ghostly apparitions. Imagine that, honey. Did you record the poltergeist again? I want you to watch the game. So, speaking of poltergeists, let's talk about those mischievous spirits. Poltergeists are like a ultimate party crasher. They show up uninvited, make a mess, and then leave you to clean it all up. It's like having a toddler, but with more ectoplasm. A poltergeist is a type of ghost or spirit known for causing physical disturbances such as loud noises and objects to be moved or destroyed. The term comes from German words, poltern, which it means to make noise, and Geist, which means ghost or spirit, literally meaning noisy ghost. So poltergeist is a noisy ghost. So one of my favorite poltergeist stories was the Enfield poltergeist. That case had everything: flying furniture, creepy voices, and a family that probably wished they had just moved into a nice, quiet, haunted house instead. The one thing that always miffed, made me question, why don't they just fucking move out? Holy shit. I know the mother was like, she was a strong woman, and she was like, this ghost isn't getting the better of me. Poltergeists are often associated with physical interaction, so moving or leaving objects, making loud noises, and even causing physical harm. Focus on an individual. They often seem to target specific people rather than places, which we found out in Enfield. In the Enfield case, poltergeists generally targeted girls that are going through the change. So 11, 12, 13, they often target the girls that are going through changes, already having emotional times, stressful times within themselves, maybe stressful times around them as well. And these poltergeists generally stick to these type of young ladies. Short durations. Poltergeist activity typically lasts for a few weeks to a few months. So what do you do if you ever encounter a poltergeist? Stay calm. Don't panic. Because panicking will make the situation worse. Document the activity. Keep a detailed log of events, including dates, times, and descriptions. Often, get a camera. That may piss off the poltergeist, so beware. If you get a camera, get a recording device. That may ramp up the activity. But, you know, at least you'll be getting a... you'll be documenting with it, picture and video evidence. Speak to professionals, contact a paranormal investigator, me, or a spiritual advisor. Avoid provoking it. Do not try to communicate or provoke the entity. I'll be screwed. Proving the existence of poltergeist is challenging due to the lack of scientific evidence. However, here are some steps if you are if you are paranormally activated, gather the evidence. So use a camera, like I said, audio recorders and other equipment to capture the activity. Witness testimonies, collect statements from multiple witnesses. Yes, get as many witnesses as possible. Scientific analyze, have the evidence analyzed by experts in the field. Don't just analyze it yourself. Get another person to analyze it for you. Could you may think you've heard an EVP, electro voice, what's EVP? Electronic voice. It's basically you've captured a voice on camera that you don't hear, but the camera picks it up. So you may think you've heard help or get out, but you give that evidence to someone else and it just sounds like, it just sounds like something like that. Get as much evidence as possible. Can you protect yourself against the poltergeist? So if you are really willing, if you are all in all out searching for poltergeist, here are some tips. Spiritual cleansing. Perform rituals or use items like sage to cleanse your space. Positive energy. Maintain a positive atmosphere in your home. Religious practices, use prayers or religious symbols for protection. Professional help, consult with experts in paranormal activity or spiritual advisors. So what is spiritual cleansing? It is a practice aimed at removing negative energy or influence from a person, place or object. It often uses to restore balance and harmony. Here are some common methods of the spiritual cleansing. Smudging. And smudging is burning herbs like sage, cedar, or sweet grass. How to do it? Light the herb bundle, let it smolder, and wave the smoke around. I'm waving the smoke. I haven't got no smoke in my hand. Wave the smoke around the area or person you want to cleanse. Focus on corners and hidden spaces. Yes, make sure you get the corners and under the stairs. Salt. Using salt to purify and protect. So a circle of salt. How does it work? Sprinkle salt around the perimeter of your home or place bowls of salt in rooms to absorb negative energy. You can also take a salt bath. Sound. This one was very interesting. Sound. Using sound vibrations to clear energy. So using bells, swinging bowls, or even clapping to break up stagnant energy. Walk through your space while making sounds. Sounds are very important. And now, onto one of the most important with cleansing yourself, crystals. Yes, crystals, folks. Using crystals known for their cleansing properties. Place a crystal like clear quartz, amethyst, or black tourmaline. I probably butchered that one. In your home, you can also carry them with you. Visualization. So, using the power of your mind to cleanse. So this is more you using your mind of positive thoughts. You see a space in your room and you just project positive thoughts into that room. Close your eyes and visualize a bright light surrounding you or your space, pushing out negative energy. And finally, water. Using water to cleanse and purify. Sprinkle water around your space or take a cleansing bath with herbs or essential oils or salt. Tips for effective spiritual cleansing. So tips. So if you got negative energy around you and you're looking for tips for effective spiritual cleansing, setting intentions, clearly state your purpose for the cleansing. Regular practice, make cleansing a regular part of your routine and positive mindset. Maintain a positive attitude during the process. When to perform spiritual cleansing? You're like, when do I want to perform these? Rare anyone? Well, after a negative event or argument, when moving into a new home, during times of stress or illness, regularly to maintain a positive environment. Now, well done. I made it through that without too much of a fuck up. Now, let's beam ourselves to Kelly Hopkinsville encounter. This is quite possibly my favorite one of all. I flip-flop a lot. I flip-flop more than the twins on the Acolyte. This is one of the most bizarre and well-documented alien encounter in history. So, picture this, a quiet night in the rural Kentucky, and suddenly you're surrounded by little green men, or angry owls, or possibly little angry monkeys. Like a scene straight out of a sci-fi movie, but with more moonshine. Yes, more moonshine. The family involved claimed they were under siege by these creatures for hours. This took place on the night of August 21st, 1955, near a small town of Kelly and Hopkinsville in Christian County, Kentucky, US of A. The incident itself, on that night, five adults and seven children arrived at the Hopkinsville police station in a state of panic, claiming that small alien creatures from a spaceship were attacking their farmhouse. The adults, including Elmer Sutton and Billy Ray Taylor, reported, do they sound more white trash than I have ever heard? Dude. Reported that they had been holding off these creatures with gunfire for nearly 4 hours. 4 bloody hours. The witness described the beings as being small in stature, estimate range around 2 to 4 feet tall, distinctive features, large pointed ears, claw-like hands, glowing yellow eyes, and spindly legs. The bodies seemed to shimmer and glow, described as being made of a silver material. So, what was the response and the investigating? The police, along with state troopers and military police from nearby Fort Campbell, investigated the farmhouse. They found evidence of gunfire and holes in windows and door screens. Screens, so the screen, what I guess keeps the bugs out, but not physical evidence of the creatures. The aftermath and the legacy. The incident received widespread media coverage and the term Little Green Men became popularized. Although the original reports specify the color green, the events has since become a significant part of UFO lore and even inspired cultural references such as in Steven Spielberg's film E.T. What do the skeptics say? How do they come to explanations for this event? They have suggested various explanations for the encounter, including misidentification. So the creatures could have been great horned owls, which have reflective eyes and aggressive behavior. Physical factors, the excitement and fear experienced by the witness could have led to an exaggerated perceptions. And one of the other ones was there was a nearby carnival which had monkeys in its performance. Now, someone's saying one of the adults worked at the carny and the monkeys and worked with the monkeys, and so he got familiar with the monkeys. The monkeys got used to his smell, and the monkeys got loose and followed the smell back to their house. And obviously when they got there, they were being monkeys, little terrifying monkeys at night, and that must have creeped them out. And also on this night, they did see a UFO pass by their homes. But on a lighter note, there is a annual festival. Today, the town of Kelly, Kentucky, celebrates the events with an annual Little Green Men Day festival every August, attracting UFO enthusiasts and curious visitors. If you have any more questions or need further details, feel free to ask me. I have been in touch with Kelly and the people who organize this festival. I would love to attend one day. I really would. It looks like a fun part of the world. Looks like a beautiful part of the world. Kelly in Kentucky. And the festival itself looks absolutely amazing. It looks amazing. So if you are in that part of the world, or if you're fancying, a little holiday, August, I may try and leave some links, but I'm time wise I might not be able to leave some links. So if you are interested, get in touch with me, email me, message me, and I will give you all the information you need. And I hope to see you there one day soon. So, what do the experts say about the Kelly Hopkinsville case? The Kelly Hopkinsville encounter has intrigued both UFO enthusiasts and skeptics alike. Here are some of what the experts say about the case itself. So, UFO enthusiast perspective. Compelling evidence. Many ufologists considered Kelly Hopkinsville encounter one of the most significant and well-documented cases of alien contact. They argue that the detailed and consistent testimonies of the witnesses provided compelling evidence of a extraterrestrial encounter. The cultural impact. The incident popularized the term Little Green Men and has had the lasting impact on UFO culture and media. It inspired Steven Spielberg in E.T. And we've gone over what the skeptics say. Misidentification and all that. Academic view, though. Psychologists and academics sometimes use the Kelly Hopkinsville encounter as an example of pseudoscience helping students distinguishing between truth and fiction. Well... This case remains a fascinating topic of debate with no definitive conclusion. Talk about an out-of-this-world experience. Finally.
Nice.
And finally, folks, one of my favorite alien encounters, Project Serpo. Let's dive into this. This is the granddaddy of all UFO conspiracies. According to the story, a group of humans was sent to an alien planet in the 60s as part of an exchange program. Yes, you heard that right, folks. An exchange program. And yes, if you have seen Close Encounters of a Third Kind, this was heavily inspired by this story, this Project Serpo. Is an alleged top secret exchange program between the United States government and an alien planet called Serpo in the Zeta Reticuli star system. In 2005, a massive drop in the dark web, anonymous emails to UFO ufologists. And this is why we know, but apparently there's like a 3,000 page document what tells the whole story somewhere out there.
key elements of Project Serpo. The project supposedly being after the famous Roswell incident in 1947, where a UFO reportedly crashed in New Mexico. According to the story, one surviving alien referred to as EBE-1, Extraterrestrial Biological Entity 1, helped establish communications between Earth and his home planet. The exchange program in 1965, 12 carefully selected military personnel were sent to Serpo on board an alien spacecraft where they spent 10 years on the planet studying its environment, culture and technology. The team reportedly lived on Serpo for 13 years before returning to Earth. Two members of the team died on Serpo and two chose to remain there. So I think all in all, seven returned because one died on the way to Serpo, as well as two dying on Serpo and two remaining to stay there. Life on Serpo, the planet is described as having two suns. It's a binary star system. Now, this case, this Project Serpo has, it's one of the granddaddies, but it also connects Roswell and the Benny and Barney Hill incident. And I say that because Betty, Benny and Barney. Betty, whilst unconscious or being investigated by the aliens, noticed she could communicate with one of the aliens and noticed a star map on one of the walls. And she clearly states in her testimony that she called it Zeta Reticuli and it was a binary star system. And this was before, and you could say, well, that's a lucky guess. No one knew about this star system, and it's an actual star system that we could actually look up today. We could actually look up this star system today. So it's got two suns, making it very bright and very hot. The inhabitants known as Ebens were more advanced and lived in a peaceful communal society. Returning and debriefing upon their return, the surviving team members were debriefed for another year. So they were put into lockdown for another year and their experiences were documented. However, the details of their mission and findings were kept classified. Skepticism and criticism. Lack of evidence. Critics argue that there is no concrete evidence to support the existence of Project Serpo, just the story itself. The story relies heavily on anonymous sources and unverifiable claims. Inconsistencies. There are numerous inconsistencies and contradictions in the accounts provided by the supposed insider. Hoax theory. Many believe that Project Serpo is a hoax or a piece of disinformation designed to mislead UFO researchers and enthusiasts. The cultural impact. Despite the skepticism, Project Serpo has captured the imagination of many and has become a popular topic in UFO lore. It has inspired books, documentaries, and discussions within the UFO community. So, a bit more about Zeta Reticuli star system. It's a fascinating, widely discussed system in both astronomy and UFO lore. Here are some of the details. I know I fucked that word up. Shit. Location. Zeta Reticuli is located in the southern constellations of Reticulum, about 39.3 light years from Earth. It's a binary star system. It consists of two stars, Zeta 1 Reticuli and Zeta 2 Reticuli, which are both G-type main sequence stars similar to our Sun, visible. Like I said, it is visible from Southern Hemisphere. The pair can be seen with the naked eye as a double star in a very dark sky. So yes, you can see this if you go, if you're in the Southern Hemisphere, you can see this star system. So Project Serpo has many connections to the to UFO lore, Betty and Barney Hill, the crash at Roswell, and you know, it's just a fantastic story. Absolutely love it. And them 12 brave men and women that went up there, led by one amazing, incredible dude, looks like Henry Cavill but more 50s. He's probably smoking a cigar. Hey, see, I want to see your alien life forms. I don't know what I was doing there. So it's fascinating, this story, this project is fascinating. I have done a program on each of these cases, so the Stone Tape Theory, the Enfield Poltergeist, the Kelly Hopkinsville, and Project Serpo. I will link them all, so if you want, go check them out. That would be fucking awesome. I will see you there as you are checking out one of these stories or all. So it's like a cosmic student exchange, but instead of learning a new language, you're learning how to survive on an alien world. The details are sketchy, the evidence is dubious, but hey, that's what makes it so fascinating. Oh, well, I thank you. You don't have to be that kind. You don't have to be that kind. So, folks, that wraps up my special 50th episode. Thank you for joining me on this journey through the strange and unexplained. And here's to another 50. Remember, if you've enjoyed this episode, don't forget to like, subscribe, and share with your fellow truth seekers. Until next time, keep your eyes on the skies and your mind open to the possibilities. This is Rare Eddie One signing off from Rare Eddie One Talks. So stay spooky, but more importantly, stay motherfucking filthy. I will see you next week. Peace.